Welcome to The Startup Show. I'm your host, John Biggs. In every episode of The Startup Show, we talk to an amazing entrepreneur about how they do what they do. We'll explore tactics, tricks, and techniques for building some of the coolest things on the planet. Thanks for listening and enjoy. Welcome back to The Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. Today on the show, we have Hunter Brooks. He's the founder of Ellipsis.dev. Welcome, Hunter.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
Yeah. So tell me a little story about Ellipsis.dev. What are you guys working on?
Ellipsis.dev is an AI dev tool. It converts technical instructions into working tested code. And what that really means is that whenever developers open up a change, they make a code change, Ellipsis reviews the code. If there's a problem with it, they can assign the implementation back to our product. So it's like having a second pair of eyes to catch bugs and a second pair of hands to fix them.
Okay. So from what you describe, it's basically the idea that I can write the spec and pass it into the system and it'll come out with working code. And if I have code that needs to be checked, it'll check it out and fix it for me.
Yeah, exactly. The result is that teams who use the product ship about 13% faster because we catch all their stupid mistakes. Just the other day, I was making a code change in a JavaScript code base, and there's async and non-async functions, and I forgot to await an asyncable function. Well, the build passed, my test passed. We don't have great test coverage at the moment. I pushed the change. If it weren't for Ellipsis, that would have gone to prod, and that would have broke things. But of course, Ellipsis left a comment on the pull request and said, hey, you need to await this function. So I just said, okay, Ellipsis, fix it for me. It generated the fix and pushed the commit directly to my branch. So I didn't even have to open up my IDE to get the fix.
Interesting. My experience with coding with at least ChatGPT and a few other tools, I'm getting like 75% of the way there, right? I can ask it to do X, Y, and Z, literally in plain English, which is amazing as a fairly poor coder. What are you guys doing to fix that problem? Like occasionally I was doing something where some of the commands were deprecated. It just kept on spitting out these deprecated commands and giving me an error until I had to realize that, oh, this is junk.
Yeah. So the coolest part about Ellipsis is that we promise to return working tested code. And the way we do that is by collecting information about a code base to actually build the project and execute the same commands that a human developer would. We then give those capabilities to our AI agents, which behind the scenes make sure things compile, make sure the unit tests run, make sure it lints before sending the code change back to the human. So the result is that it's higher latency and that it takes longer for us to build the project, you know, run the test. It's like an internal CI tool, but it's also higher accuracy because things are guaranteed to compile.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, that sounds like a lot better than I've been experienced. What have been some of the challenges? It sounds like you might get a lot of pushback from developers about this.
Developers kind of fall into two camps. They're very keen to try these products, but they have a very high bar for what they want in their day-to-day flow. So our core product is our code review functionality, and that adds noise to the code review process. And unless we have a really high signal-to-noise ratio, in that we catch a lot of bugs and we mitigate all these false positives, then developers don't want our product in their code base because it's leaving comments in their code that are like red herrings and it's taking up space. And so one of the ways we've gotten around this with Ellipsis is that we allow our customers to specify exactly that thresholds, because different teams might put up with more noise at the cost of, you know, shipping a very costly bug, right? And so you can customize Ellipsis's behavior using that. And the other cool thing that you can do with our product is you can thumbs up or thumbs down the comments that we leave. And over time, we will build this codex of all the things that your devs actually want to see in the code review and then match those comments against that before sending them out to you. So it's really catching the things that only you want it to catch.
Do you think there's ever going to be a situation where there is no, human in the middle that's going to take care of that kind of thing? That's going to be watching this sort of system?
No. The job security for software engineers has never been safer, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. What I'm seeing in the industry today is that people spend a lot of their time on tedious, time-consuming work. I came from AWS, and we had this big framework for building microservices. And to just build a simple post endpoint, it took hours of setting up projects, provisioning pipelines, and getting things going. And it was all unambiguous boilerplate changes. That's why we built Ellipsis. We don't think human software engineers, whose skills are architectural level and creative thinking and things like that, they shouldn't be spending their time playing the role of workhorse. They should be automating that process away. And when that does get automated away, it frees up human engineers to have the more enjoyable parts of their job to do that more regularly, which is system design, build planning new features, talking to customers. I think in the future, we're going to see the rise of the product engineer in the SDE job family.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting point. What are some of the challenges that you've had so far? There's a lot of AI. There's a lot of AI companies out there. How hard was it to get funding, et cetera?
Yeah, luckily Y Combinator picked us up, and it's been a great experience working with them. They gave us a huge microphone to get access to a bunch of code bases, and it really sped up our hunt for product market fit process. We actually started way back in 2021, not as a developer tool, but as a company called The Practical Interview. And the whole goal there was to convert, the whole goal with The Practical Interview was to make technical assessments more like day-to-day work for software engineers. And so given a candidate resume, I was trying to build a product that could build a code base that allowed candidates to extend that code base as part of their interview. And this was a win-win for the candidate, right? Because the candidate doesn't have to go study for data structures and algorithms tests, which are more like puzzles than they are like work simulations. And the hiring manager gets to actually see what is going on, what would it be like to work with this candidate on the job. So we started out there. I built this code generation pipeline to handle that. And I realized, whoa, there's a really small market in the interview tech space. I should actually just be targeting this towards developers to make them more productive. Mm-hmm. And so I built a product that took in requirements, feature requests, bug reports, and it tried to make changes in production code bases. That immediately crashed and burned. And that's because today's state-of-the-art models, and this was GPT-4, they're not good enough to actually understand system-wide context and mm-hmm. to make changes in multiple files across a space. And this is the biggest problem that we've had and so many others in the code generation space struggle with. Our answer to this was to actually really scope down the problem. Instead of trying to build the AI software engineer that picks items off your backlog and gives you a pull request, we started by doing code review really, really well. And by doing code review really well, teams have a very quick time to value when they adopt our product. They install it, and the next PR that gets pushed, it gets reviewed, right? And the problem itself is much more constrained. So GPT-4 and AI agents are actually able to do a much better job. If you think about it in code review, there's a version of the code that the team has, and then there's a branch of it that a developer has that they're proposing to merge back in. Because of those two data points, you can estimate the intent between the branches, and you can estimate what the developer is trying to do. And as a result, you have more context if you're an AI agent, and you can provide more thought during the review. With code generation from scratch, you only have one branch. And so by constraining the problem, we found a lot of success.
And pivoting the way you did, was that uncomfortable? What did it take to like make you finally realize that interviews probably wasn't the way to go?
Running out of money. Mm-hmm. My job twice to build that company. I couldn't get it off the ground. The market is just too small and there's so few venture-backed players. But if you can automate part of a software engineer's work, that's obviously worth a lot of money. The trick is, are you selling vaporware or are you selling something that actually saves a dev team time?
Okay, very cool. All right. So folks can check it out at ellipsis.dev, right?
That's right. Please sign up for a 7-day free trial.
All right. We'll give it a try. Hunter, thank you for joining us. This has been the Startup Show. I'm John Biggs. We'll see you next time.